The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to this Monday edition of Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Now, you may be surprised to find out that the word saved and the word salvation don't always mean the same thing, and it depends on what the context is and the book which those words appear in. That's exactly what we're exploring in our current series, The Meanings of Saved and Salvation. We're taking a look today at Romans, because Romans is packed with the Word, and it's vital that we understand it. Fortunately, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to walk us through this very interesting discussion. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're discussing salvation in five different New Testament books. We're currently in Romans. We're in chapter 10. We started talking about 10 verse 1, and then we just mentioned 10 verse 10. Now, let me read those two verses for you. 10:1 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." And one of the things that you've been arguing, Bob, is that in Romans, salvation is salvation from God's temporal wrath, his wrath expressed in the here and now against sin. It's not eternal salvation. It's salvation from this wrath.
Exactly.
Now, I pushed back on you in the last episode, and I pointed out, well, in the verses right before 10:1 and in the verses right after 10:1, Paul is talking about how Israel failed to get the righteousness of Christ because they tried to establish it by the law instead of believing in Jesus for it. And by the way, as an aside, I think those verses show that work salvation, the work salvation message, does not work.
Absolutely. And by the way, here's a good point, and I didn't bring this out in the last episode, and I should have. Obviously, Paul wants both of those things for the nation of Israel. He wants the nation of Israel to be justified before God. He wants every individual Jew to be justified.
Right.
To be declared righteous. But he also wants something else.
Right.
He wants every single Jew to be delivered from God's wrath. And those aren't the same thing. And what happens is, after 10:1 and following, he comes down to 9 and 10, and he's now summarizing these two things, not one thing, two things, two conditions.
Right.
And let's start in verse 9, because yesterday we just read verse 10. So read 9 and 10.
"So that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation."
Okay, now notice, both in 9 and 10 you have something external and something internal.
Right.
The external in each case is confessing with your mouth, right, in both places, and on the internal part is believing in the heart.
Right.
Now, heart in Scripture, I've argued elsewhere, is a reference to the inner person.
Right.
It's not a reference to the blood-pumping organ.
Yeah.
It doesn't even exactly mean our mind. There's a separate Greek word for mind.
Uh-huh.
It just means the inner person. It's not trying to say, okay, this obviously it does take place in the mind, but that's not what we're talking about. When he says heart, he just means this is inner. And when he talks about the mouth, he means external. He's not saying, if you're mute and you can't speak, then you can't have this salvation from God's wrath.
Mm.
Now, what it's important to recognize here is, as you mentioned in the verses before Romans 10:1 and after 10:1, you talked about justification, didn't you?
Yes.
Except the word justification doesn't quite appear there,
well,
does it?
No, you're right. You're
what
right
word
about
appears
that.
There?
Righteousness.
And righteousness is the noun form of justification. Mm-hmm. So you were right to do that.
Right.
A lot of commentators forget that when they get to Romans 10, 9, and 10. Let's look at Romans 10, 9, and 10 and look for the word dikaiosune, righteousness. "For if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Now, verse 10 breaks this into two parts. "For with the heart one believes unto" what?
Righteousness.
Okay, what is righteousness? Justification.
Yeah.
So what's the condition of justification according to Romans 10:10a?
Believing.
Just believing.
Yeah.
And what's the condition of the salvation? It's confessing. Now, in light of Romans 1:16, which we looked at before,
yeah,
in order for the confession to result in salvation from God's wrath, the person must be a believer. They must be justified already.
Right. That's assumed.
So that's why the two parts of verse 10 are explaining verse 9.
And by the way, so a lot of people are hearing, I need to confess, and they're thinking about a Roman Catholic confessional, and they're going to a priest and telling about their sins. But that's not what Paul means here.
No, this isn't confessing sins. This is confessing Christ. And probably what this is talking about, and I think Zane Hodges has an excellent commentary on Romans. And he argues that if you follow this idea through the scriptures, this basically refers to corporate worship.
Mm.
That we're calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ week in and week out. This isn't a one-time saying, Lord Jesus. If I say the words, Lord Jesus, I'm going to be saved.
Right.
Or some people would say, Jesus is Lord,
right,
then I'm going to be saved. No, you're not saved from God's wrath unless you're a believer and unless you're a part of a regular group that is calling upon him.
Mm-hmm.
That is, we're a group that's lifting up his name. That's also brought out, I think, in Romans 10, verses 13 and 14. Look how that follows. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, now this reference in verse 13 is the verb form, sozo.
Okay.
But it's the same idea, and it's tied in with Romans 10:10, because notice it's calling, and calling is, some people would see this as different. One says confessing, one says calling. But almost every commentator says that the calling in verse 13 is the same thing as the confession in verse 10.
Right. You're calling out to God. You're speaking to him. You're,
right.
What are you asking for help, or are you praising him, or are you just, I mean, what does that look like?
It seems to me this is corporate worship.
Corporate worship.
I'm part of the group that is crying out to him, and therefore, as long as I'm a functioning part of that body, I'm going to be saved from God's wrath. Of course, assumed here is that, you know, I'm not walking in the flesh. If I'm walking in the flesh, then there should be church discipline, and I would no longer be part of the worshiping community. But the point is, notice he says, whoever calls upon the Lord will be saved. And then in verse 14, he says, how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed.
So you have to believe first.
Right. You believe.
You've already believed. And what happens when you believe?
You're born again, you're justified.
You have that righteousness.
But in order to be saved, you must call on the Lord.
So that's why he's mentioning Israel. They don't even have that righteousness yet. They haven't believed yet, so they can't call on the Lord and experience the salvation.
Right. If they were just to cry out to the Lord, but without the righteousness, it wouldn't work.
If they're doing that, they're rejecting Christ. You can't actively reject Christ and call out to the Lord and expect to be saved.
Exactly. Now, it is important to recognize if Israel were to genuinely cry out to God, now, of course, they wouldn't be part of the church, so they wouldn't be part of the worshiping community. But let's say in their synagogue you had a Jew who was truly crying out to God and say, Lord, I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Please show me. Then God would reveal the promise of everlasting life to him. And Cornelius is an example of that in Acts chapter 10. Now, he's not a Jew, he's a Gentile, but he's a God-fearing Gentile.
Yeah.
He worships in the synagogue. He gives money. Now, notice I've got a commentator here, Grant Osborne. In his commentary on Romans, he comments on Romans 10:14 through the beginning of 15.
Uh-huh.
And here's what he says. Thus, the order is the sending of the witness, leading to the preaching of the gospel, leading to the hearing of the message, leading to believing the truth, leading to calling on the Lord, unquote. So Osborne is saying that in order to call on the Lord, you first must believe in him for justification and regeneration.
Right.
Osborne also says this, salvation is experienced in the twin responses of confessing and believing.
Mm.
Now, Osborne doesn't fully go into what that means. It seems to me if he was following it logically, he'd say, since the only condition of justification is faith in Christ, then this salvation is something other than justification, right?
Okay, yeah.
And I would urge you, if you haven't read Zane Hodges' commentary on Romans, it would be well worth the investment of whatever it is, $20 or when sometimes on sale for less, to get an outstanding commentary on Romans. Now, he was influenced by Anders Nygren, I believe, Swedish commentator who wrote an excellent commentary on Romans. And you can buy that one as well. That one's a little harder to follow because Anders doesn't exactly write like commentators do today. He doesn't just put a verse, explain that verse. Instead, he writes in a prose style. Mm-hmm. So you get paragraph after paragraph just explaining what's going on.
Right.
I have that commentary. I find that helpful, too.
And you can get a shorter version of Zane's commentary in our Grace New Testament commentary, the second edition. And I've been reprinting that shorter commentary in Grace and Focus magazine, which comes out every other month.
So isn't a lot of that available online?
It's all available online. So you can read the first 9 chapters at this point for free online.
At faithalone.org.
Yes. Yes.
And just look under resources, or you can go, there's
search.
A little search bar.
Yeah, just search it.
Just click on the magnifying glass.
Yeah, there you go. Is there a magnifying glass?
It's a little circle with a stick on it, so I think
there
that's
you go.
A magnifying
glass. Yeah, that's definitely it. I saw a kid, someone had a floppy disk. Have you ever seen this floppy disk before?
Oh, yeah.
And some kid saw that and said, wow, you 3D printed a save button. Because our save buttons on our computers are the floppy disk icon.
Oh, and that's
so,
right.
And so this kid was so removed from that, they're like, wow, you 3D printed a save icon. No, this is what you call
what
a floppy
we used
disk.
To use. My first computer was a Mac in 85 or 86. I can't remember. I think it was 85. And it had 128K hard drive. 128,000 bytes for the hard drive, and we had a little external disk that you could put in for another 128K.
Yeah. That's
now your phone has, what, 64 gig?
Yeah. Back to Romans.
Well, yeah, and our next move is going to be to Romans 11:11, the next use, and I think we can do that in the next episode.
All right, let's do that in the next episode. In the meantime, if you want to listen to prior episodes, we are on Spotify, we're on Stitcher, we're on Audible, we're on iTunes, and of course you can go to our website, faithalone.org. And we so appreciate your support during these difficult times for us to, you know, keep on making these shows, putting out the blogs, putting out the magazine and books. And we just love you guys and thank you for showing your appreciation to us in your regular giving. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax-deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's program, we're going to continue our look at Romans, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.